T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Happy to have you with us here on a Friday morning on KMBZ. Coming up on Monday, the Overland Park City Council will begin to consider recommendations that are being made by a mental health task force. That task force was established in February of last year. It is chaired by Overland Park City Councilman Chris Newland, who joins us on the line now to talk more about it. Chris, we appreciate you spending some time.
Thank you, Jamie and John. Appreciate you having me on.
It's great to hear your voice, Chris. And I want to start by, before we get into even the nuts and bolts of the task force and what it is that you're hoping to accomplish, I want to go back to last year because, you know, timing is everything, right? This started in February. And then in March, you were asking for volunteers, and you described at that point that the response for that call out to volunteers was overwhelming. Then all of a sudden the world changed. Talk about what the last year has brought.
Well, it's actually shown that we can make change happen even in difficult times. John, to your point, first thing I did when we put the task force out together is I reached out to every single member and I said, guys, with the pandemic hitting, do we want to delay this? Because we're not going to be able to meet in person for at least a couple months. At least that's what we thought, right, back in March and April. And every single member, to their credit, said, no, this is so important that let's just do a couple meetings via Zoom. And then if we can meet in person, that's great. And if we have to pull it back again, then we'll be able to do it. Well, it turned out we did almost every single meeting via Zoom up until our last one in April. And it turned out to show we can make some really heavy decisions, even in a time when we can't even be in person, because we all felt that mental health was at the forefront of this pandemic and needed to rise to the top of the conversation. And I think we did a great job of that.
So again, before we get into the recommendations, and we'll talk about the work that you did to arrive at those recommendations, when you were chaired head of this task force, what gaps did you feel like existed in mental health in Johnson County?
Well, and John, I think what I would say the gaps were, and I focused a lot on the city, it was making sure that when there's a mental health crisis at a doorstep, that the right help is getting there. And because a lot of times it's the police and fire that is responding to these crises, and is the right personnel there, whether it be a properly trained police officer or a properly trained social worker, such as the co-responders with Johnson County that pair with our police department. You know, that was what we were seeing, is how are we going to get immediate help? And it was also making information accessible to residents quickly, via the internet. Because I think a lot of times when you're having a mental health challenge, you don't know where to get help. Sometimes you want to be anonymous and you just want to search it up yourself. And so if we can find more avenues for people to click quickly, find numbers to call, find therapists to get help, that's one thing that we are finding from a gap perspective. Tim DeWeese, who serves on our task force, did a really great job of highlighting what we were already doing as a partnership between the city and the county. And I think my task force members were like, whoa, I didn't really realize that we were doing all that. But what we were trying to do was bring it to the top so there was more eyes on it and understanding there's a lot going on and how do we make it even better.
Well, and again, going back to timing being everything, as you mentioned, I mean, at the beginning of all of this, the pandemic hits, and then all of a sudden, we're all a lot more attuned to thinking about mental health and adjusting our own conception of what the stressors are in society. And we've all learned a lot over these last 12 months. Has your mission changed over those 12 months to reflect what we've been through with the pandemic?
I think a little bit. Not completely, but a little bit it did, because we were all learning a lot. We had meetings where we brought in experts to talk to us about different ideas of mental health. Like, we brought in the school system at one point, and there's four school districts that sit around Overland Park. We brought Olathe, Shawnee Mission, and Blue Valley in to a meeting and learned about what ideas they have, because we knew that the stress that would be on students this year, being isolated and away from the classroom a lot. You know, what is the school district doing? So we had that conversation. We talked about domestic violence. We had Safe Home there, and we talked about those stressors as well. So we did kind of do a lot of educating early on before we came to our recommendations and what we wanted to do. For me personally, I'd already been working with something down here in Blue Valley and Olathe. It's called the Fathers Club, started down at Blue Valley High and Blue Valley Southwest High School, where we're really attuned to mental health with our kids. We had seen suicides in 2018 and 19 here locally, and we really wanted as dads to get more involved. And that's where I kind of got started from mental health, and I've been mental health first aid trained. So that's really how I kind of got started and wanted to see these things out.
It's funny, we have talked about that on the show. We have talked about that Father's Club before here on the show a couple of years ago, pre-pandemic, so that's great. Okay, let's get into some of the nuts and bolts here. We've got the list in front of us. There were 9 recommendations that are going to go before the City Council on Monday. I won't steal your thunder here. Get into some of those, if you would, and then we'll dig further into them.
Yeah, I think there's some really big ones that we have focused on since the beginning. And the first one, I think the number one, is the crisis intervention team and co-responder program for the police department. This is so that we can have 24/7 coverage in our police department of having officers that are highly trained in crisis intervention and also have a co-responder who's from Johnson County Mental Health. They're paired with our department to have 24/7 coverage. That way, if a mental health call comes into, when mental health calls happen, they dial 911. And we want to have the appropriate officer go out there who's trained in this. Right now, we are now up to 7-day coverage, but we are not 24/7 coverage. So we are trying to get to 11 officers and 7 co-responders that are able to address these calls on a 24/7 basis. And we are getting them the help they need. Also, part of this recommendation for this team is that the officers are playing closed. As we all know, you know, anxiety, when you see an officer in these heightened situations, can make a situation go even worse. So if we have a officer show up in a polo and in khakis, yes, they're still going to have the body cams. They will have a weapon and taser on them, but they're trained to de-escalate and make sure things are calm, and then bring in a social worker with them for that social worker to help give them the resources that they need, and proper help that they need, instead of going to the emergency room necessarily, or, you know, God forbid, jail. This really helps them. Now, something about this recommendation is the task force, when we started, we tried to get this into the city's budget last year. And it was going to require a slight mill levy increase, about $30 a household per year. It lost by a vote. I think this year, this recommendation is fully, all the recommendations actually, but this one especially, fully supported by the city manager, and I believe it's going to come into the budget for 2022. I don't want to talk too long because I know you.
Well, yeah, actually, let me stop you there because you actually did answer one of my questions, but because I was going to ask where the money was coming from. But the other part of the question is, do you have a model? Because cities across the country are dealing with this as well. Is there a model that you're looking to as far as that training, not only for the officers but for the mental health responders, as far as what they need to know when those calls come in?
So yeah, there is crisis intervention training that is done through the state, and we do that. And we're trying to get every single officer with at least a minimum level of crisis intervention training across the board. The officers that are going to be on this team, they're going to have extra training that they're going to go out and get so that they can have this. The co-responders, they have master's degrees in social work and psychology. They are highly trained individuals that are doing this. This, and it's actually a really tough position to recruit for. But we think if we show that we have the jobs available and that they're going to have full-time work, we're going to be able to find it, bring those in.
I actually do want to talk a little bit more about that, and then we'll take a break here and we'll get to some more questions coming up. But we have done stories on this show before, not that long ago, about the presence or absence of a social worker when it comes to a, not a crime scene, but there was a story out of Ohio where a 14-year-old girl was arrested and was kind of freaking out. And we kind of wondered, man, that's where you want a social worker at the scene like that, and about the way that crime and mental health is intertwined. Are you finding, or have you found so far, acceptance of that idea that the two really are mingled?
I do think we're finding acceptance of that. I think the one thing we have to be careful of is the reason why we want the officer is sometimes things can get out of control and they're trained to help with things that are surprising, right? And I'm not talking from mental health. I'm talking about from real crime, right? There could be a mental health issue and a crime issue going on at the same time. They're trained to help that. So we want both of them there, right? We want a professional, you know, who's got these degrees, who can do the social work stuff and help with that. But we also need to make sure someone's there able to secure the scene properly. And that's why we're using this type of model, which is similar to, I think San Antonio does this type of model, where they have these type of officers like this. So to your point, Jamie, we think that the co-responder really can de-escalate extreme situations here and help get people the help that they need.
And Chris, I wanted to talk about the mental health diversion program here, because drug courts have become a popular way to kind of address some of the things that some of our suspects may be getting into. And maybe they don't need to be in traditional jails. Maybe they need to be taken a different direction. Address, if you would, for me, the program that you're looking at for mental health diversion.
Well, we already have a mental health diversion program in the city of Overland Park. And we had the prosecutor's office for the city out in front of us to talk about that. But we noticed, I don't want to say gaps, we just wanted to make it more knowledgeable that this is available, because we think what we were noticing is that things weren't up on a website, things were not easy to get a hold of, like documentation. And, you know, things are intimidating, such as you're the one who is accused and you want to go get this type of diversion, and you have to go to the prosecutor and ask for it, and that can be intimidating. So what are some easier ways that we can make this happen so that they can start that diversion program? And because of the reason this is put through that community recommendation side of that you're seeing there in the task force recommendations, is because the city government, you know, there's three levels of government. And since this is the judicial phase, we're just making these the simple recommendations to implement to help better that communication with those that are accused and getting them the help that they need and putting them into a program where instead of having them to go to jail or have a better way of making sure that they can get back into society without having this against them, we're able to do that. And I believe the city is already, the prosecutor's office is already starting to implement some of these recommendations from conversations that we've had.
Well, talk to us a little bit about some of the other recommendations that are in here. And I know, I mean, there's nine of them all together, so there's a yeah. lot of ground to cover there. But if you could just quickly skim over some of the other things that maybe we wouldn't have thought of as far as crisis intervention and other pieces of this that you're recommending to the council.
Yeah, so a couple of the things. We just want a bigger influence, a bigger conversation around substance abuse disorders. We want to make sure we're having better conversations around them. Trauma-informed care, I think, is something we would like the city to have in all departments. And that is so that that helps department people, you know, whether you're in code, you're in public works, you're whatever, you're noticing trauma early on and getting people the help that they need. Mental health resources for first responders, this being Mental Health Month, Awareness Month, you know, our first responders see trauma all the time and how that affects them. Making sure that the resources are available for them to get the help that they need so that they can keep doing their job and we don't lose first responders that have been here for years and years and doing a great job. Victim Advocates Program, this is so that these are for victims that can have someone in the police department to help them get help in different places. This program, we have a grant right now for this year, but we want it to continue to be funded. And so we're asking the city to fund that program. And then I think finally, Jamie and John, is the Standing Mental Health Committee. One day I was getting ready for a task force meeting, and I just thought, how is this task force, how is our legacy going to continue? How are we going to make sure this stays on top of the city's mind and that new things that come out for mental health, who's going to put those ideas forward? So I recommended that we have a committee that reports to the police chief and the public safety committee new ideas and make sure that these things get implemented properly going forward.
Okay, so this goes before the city council coming up on Monday. Talk us through some of the next steps and what you would expect to be implemented first out of this list.
Yeah, so it goes in front of the committee as a whole on Monday, and I'm anticipating unanimous recommendation. The city manager has always already said he wants to implement all these, which is great. The very first one that we're going to do is going to be that crisis intervention team and co-responders. That is going to be in the budget for 2022. So if that goes in when he recommends that in June to us and we approve that, that should move forward. And then the rest of these are going to get split up by the different committees. Some of these will be in front of public safety. Some of them might be in front of community development. And how that all works, and some of them may be inside of the Finance Administration Economic Development Committee as well. They're going to go to those committees. Staff's going to come up with how we can implement these recommendations, and then that's going to come to us for how we're going to do it. Some of them will be quick, like I said, with the CIT and co-responders, but like the Crisis Center, for example, that is going to be a long-term recommendation. That is going to be something that we got to look to bring in many community partners if we're going to have something like that in Overland Park. So it's these recommendations aren't going to go away. They will be checked off, and there'll probably be more that come from the Mental Health Committee coming forward.
Will the task force have a website if people are interested in this? They want to keep track of the developments, they want to keep track of the recommendations and all of the information and how things are going as these things are implemented. Can we keep track?
Yeah, we're going to have a mental health resource website opkansas.org. It's already on there, the Mental Health Task Force. There's already some links on there for stuff, but we will keep that updated with what we're doing, with our recommendations, status of those, so that we can keep the public abreast of what's happening and how we've implemented these properly.
Well, it's been really good to talk to you, and thanks a bunch for breaking down all the recommendations. And we've talked a lot about mental health on this show, particularly in the last year since the pandemic started. I just appreciate any chance we have to talk more about it and keep it more out in the open. And so thanks a lot for helping us do that.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on and making this get out there. I want to show Overland Park and Johnson County that we are leading as a city, and we are trying to do better for all our residents going forward.
That is City Council Member Chris Newland from Overland Park. And again, the Mental Health Task Force recommendation is going to be made to the City Council as a whole, and we'll certainly keep track of that as things move along.